Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us a very special guest. It's Colonel Daniel Marvin, and of course he was with Special Forces many years, and he has a fascinating story to tell. He has many fascinating stories. In fact, he's written a book recently called The Expendable Elite, and of course he has a website by that same title, and we'll get more into that in just a minute. But Colonel, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome. Proud to be here.
Well, of course, now you were with the Special Forces from about the early 1960s until you...
1964 until 1971.
All right, fine. Now, of course, then you were in Vietnam.
Yes.
And of course, you commanded a Special Forces unit on the Cambodian border. Why don't you just sort of tell our listeners a little bit about that? And then, of course, we'll get into, as soon as we pick up some of our other stations, into the story of what happened as far as Cambodia. But what was your job there? You had command of this unit. What were there, 10 or 15 men there?
Well, I had actually in my A team, it was an independent operation, which means under the compartmentalization system that I didn't really answer to anybody once I got into my area, and I commanded a Special Forces operation in Camp An Phu in South Vietnam, and we had 30 kilometers of border. I had 8 men in my team. I was authorized a total of 24 because in addition to our routine Special Forces border surveillance and combat mission, we had the mission to be the advisors to the district in all government and civic action affairs.
And so, really, the Special Forces operated like an autonomous unit. And, of course, you were really responsible for the people who lived there and for their law and order. I mean, here we have a country at war, and you move in of this small group of men and establish a central authority. And, of course, you're there to protect them from the Viet Cong. And is that basically what it was about?
Amen. Well, I think the most important thing that we should remember is that we were there to help them defend their area. Now, we had a total of 692 what you would call mercenaries. They were civilian irregular defense group working and fighting for us, but they were all Wahaos from the Buddhist religion. They were all from that area. They were all defending their own homes and grounds and fishing rights and all that in that area, the nicest, bravest, most compassionate people I ever met.
And, of course, then the Viet Cong would come in and try to force them to, come out against the Americans. And what would they do? Would they kill the people if they didn't go along with it? What would the Viet Cong do in your area?
Well, they would attempt to terrorize and intimidate. We were very fortunate because all of the Wahaos were on our side. So we only had one or two real circumstances where the Viet Cong came into an area in the middle of the night in a small hamlet that was a little ways away from our forward operation bases, and they brought the hamlet chief out, and they murdered him right in front of the village, and then demanded that they loyal to the Viet Cong instead of to us.
All right, we're going to just have to interrupt you there. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan, and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and our special guest this afternoon is Colonel Daniel Marvin, and Colonel Marvin was with the Special Forces, and these are very elite troops within the military, the Special Forces, Green Berets, and then, of course, the SEALs. They're trained, only the highest quality of men are allowed into this, and, of course, they're really experts in all sorts of really very, very strange and unusual warfare, and these are the people who are very often called to do assassinations and other things throughout the world. People don't understand that, but those of you who've been watching our some of the television recently, I was watching one evening, and it showed a Special Forces a soldier, didn't show his face, but he was sharpening a knife, and of course it was said, the Brian Williams, who was commenting on this, said, well, you know, that man is sharpening a knife because he's going to use it to kill somebody, and that's really what the Special Forces do. They're really trained to kill, aren't they, Colonel?
Well, that's one of the things we train for. We spend an awful lot of time training on how to work with the people to help themselves in civic action. Like in my area, we built bridges, we built schools, we trained midwives, we built maternity houses. We probably, my two medics in an area with 64,000 people and not one single doctor did all the medical first aid calls for the entire population.
And, of course, your job was really to try to, get the people behind us and really to help them as much as possible and to teach them how to help themselves.
That's right.
All right, but then, of course, right across the border in Cambodia, the Viet Cong had been given a sanctuary by our government, and they were able then to come in from across the border, and supposedly no American troops were to go in. So our government gave the enemy a sanctuary. It was sort of like tying two hands behind our back and sending our boys into battle.
That's right. I was the first one to command an independent operation there, where we had the authority to go across the border. But it was kind of double-edged sword, because I was also told at the same time that if we were caught across the border, there would be no medevac, no air support, no artillery support. We would be on our own without any government support.
And so this is what really happened over there. The Special Forces units over there, these are very, very patriotic. These are people who believe in America, who are willing to give their lives for our country. And they were told, well, you can go ahead and do these things, or really you should go ahead and do these things. But if you get caught, while you're on your own, there'll be no support for you at all. Everything was plausible denial, because, of course, they were lying to the American people, saying there were no operations in Cambodia. And, of course, there are operations in Cambodia. We'll be back here in just a moment with this story. Well, of course, what people don't understand is that war really is a terrible, terrible thing, and terrible things happen in war. Americans are basically good people, but sometimes they're given orders to do things that we have to begin to question the wisdom of. And apparently you were then recruited by the Central Intelligence Agency to kill Prince Sihanouk, the king of Cambodia. What was that story about?
Well, on the 10th day of June, 1966, Walter McKim, CIA agent, came to my camp and asked us to take on the mission of going into Cambodia, and they gave us the route that the prince would be traveling on a certain date, and train a group of men, total of 42 men, to go in there dressed, and all their papers and everything else would be made to appear to be the Viet Cong. And the whole task was to kill Sihanouk and then to make it look like the North Vietnamese had done it, supposedly then to turn the Cambodian people against North Vietnam and eliminate their support.
And, of course, this is the sort of thing that goes on all the time. I mean, certainly, we're involved with the murder of Diem and Nu, and involved with murders all throughout the world. If you haven't read some of those reports that came out of the Church Committee, they took out President Trujillo of the Dominican Republic. They took out Patrice Lumumba from Nigeria. And, of course, there's some people who believe they took out an American president in 1963, and we're not going to talk about that. We'll have Colonel Marvin come back and talk about that sometime later, because he has at least some knowledge of that. He has a great deal of information on their involvement and Special Forces involvement as far as the murder of Martin Luther King was concerned.
Amen.
And certainly, Reverend King's family did not for 1 minute believe the official government official government lie that was put out, that this was a lone assassin, and this nutcase just went ahead and, for no reason at all, killed Martin Luther King. After all, he was at that time becoming a national hero. He was opposing the war in Vietnam. And, of course, he was asking some very, very significant questions and challenging the government. And, of course, at that time where it may well have cost him his life. Well, let's go ahead and tell us what happened.
Well, we accepted the mission. Major Foy Van Lee, my counterpart, and I, we had 100 volunteers on what was really more or less a suicide mission. But I gave him a quid pro quo. I demanded that President Johnson eliminate the Viet Cong sanctuaries and tell the American people that publicly, and that it be reported in the New York Times, and that I would call a friend of mine at Fort Bragg by what we call the ionospheric bounce and verify that. Well, they didn't do it. President Johnson either wasn't contacted or he refused, so we rejected the mission. And when we did, then the CIA sent an Arvin regiment to destroy my camp.
In other words, they were going to kill you and your men. You were going to be sent on a suicide mission. And when you said, well, we'll only go on the suicide mission if you'll, take away the sanctuary for the Cambodians, then they decided to kill you. And the CIA was going to kill everybody in your camp?
Amen.
And what happened?
About 400 South Vietnamese and the two A-teams, our Special Forces team and the Vietnamese Special Forces. Well, we sent word through Wah Hao Central Committee, and the head of the chairman of the Wah Hao Central Committee went and met with General Quang Van Dang in 4th Corps, and General Dang got with Colonel William Desabri, an American colonel, his senior advisor, and they flew out over the regiment just when it was just a couple minutes away from attacking our camp, and they stopped the regiment. And Colonel Desabri asked the American advisors with the regiment why they were attacking An Phu, and they said that they were told that a renegade captain named Marvin was leading the Wah Haos against the Saigon government.
And, of course, this is the sort of thing that they would do. And you have to understand that there are wicked and evil people working within the CIA. There are some people there, I'm sure, who are loyal Americans.
Amen.
There are other people there who have no sense of right and wrong. And if they're given an order, they'll carry it out, even if it means killing fellow Americans.
Well, that's what President Kennedy tried to stop, was that part of the CIA activities, and that's why he's no longer with us.
All right, and any of you who haven't read Operation Northwood, we have that. It's available through Radio Liberty. And that was a government plan, actually, to kill Americans so we could get into a war with Cuba. And which method would we use to get the most dramatic results from the American people? And Operation Northwood was eventually declassified, and when it was given to President Kennedy, why he refused to allow the military to proceed with that, and as a result, of course, shortly thereafter, he took a trip to Dallas.
Right.
So there are many, many stories out there. Well, of course, what were some of the other things that happened to you when you were there in Vietnam?
Well, one thing, and one of the main reasons for my book, Expendable Elite, and I do invite people to go to that website, expendableelite.com, is the courage of the South Vietnamese people. Now, you think to any book that you've read in the library or in the bookstore about the Vietnam War, and I don't think you'll find a one that tells of the courage of the South Vietnamese. I guess because we betrayed them and we abandoned them, we want to put the blame on them and not make them as heroes. I loved them. They were just wonderful people to work with, fight with. They were so honest, it's hard to believe.
All right, fine. Of course, many of them actually did eventually convert to Christianity, and you mentioned that a lot of them are coming over here. You've been helping them?
I've been helping them get into this country against the best wishes of the CIA. I know, in fact, Henry Kissinger personally tried to stop Major Foy Van Lee from coming into this country, and two brave ladies helped me to make sure that he was allowed to come from Vietnam to here after 13 years in prison there.
He was imprisoned by the communists after we betrayed the South Vietnamese?
Yep. Everybody that was associated with especially CIA-type activities got the longest prison sentences over there.
All right, fine. And of course, the great, great tragedy is that, you know, these were courageous people who trusted our government, and we let them down.
That's right.
The American people let them down, but that's because they didn't understand what Vietnam was about. We never really went there to fight communism. And if you haven't heard my poor tape set on Vietnam, the untold story, you really need to get that and get into the background. So, you know, of course, then, of course, you were given other assignments. What was this about, having something to do with the Special Forces smuggling weapons into the United States?
Well, that was in Thailand, right. I did want to mention, too, that when I was at ANFU, that I did not allow Agent Orange to be used in my district. I did not allow B-52s to bomb, which got me in trouble with our people. And I didn't allow the Phoenix program people to come in.
All right. Would you like to explain to our listeners what Phoenix was? Because this is one of the most carefully kept secrets in America.
Well, the same CIA agent, Walter McKim, that had brought the mission on CNIC to me, brought a team of what they call counter-terrorist team. And they were black pajamaed Vietnamese people that would come into an area, and they would, using what intelligence they had, decide who in that area was our enemy, and then they'd silence them one way or another.
You mean they would liquidate them?
About 20,000 were assassinated in Vietnam. I did not allow them into my area because I trusted my people, and if anybody was going to do anything with people that turned against us, it'd be us, not them.
All right, because you really couldn't trust them. I mean, the trouble is they executed an awful lot of innocent people, and that really turned, I think, a lot of the Vietnamese against America.
Oh, absolutely.
But, of course, they couldn't let the American people know about Phoenix.
Nope.
And I know people who were in that, and they were good, loyal Americans. They really believed we were there fighting communism,
and
more terrible things happened.
William Colby tried to put the blame on General Quang Van Dang, the man who rescued us from the CIA regiment, the regiment the CIA had sent. They tried to, he purposely, in front of Congress, said that General Dang was in charge of the operation that killed 20,000 Vietnamese, and he had nothing to do with it. I proved that.
All right, fine. And of course, Phoenix was planned assassins. They were paid assassins, and of course they would torture people, and then they would kill them. And of course they would torture you until you admitted something, and maybe you weren't even guilty. That was the problem with that.
Amen.
And did you run into that sort of thing?
No, I did not.
All right, fine.
I stopped it in a few places.
But you stopped it because you knew that it could be used falsely and create terrible problems.
Right.
All right. Well, how long were you there then in your area?
In ANFU itself, I was there for 7 months, and then we were ordered out after President Kennedy was assassinated. Then when President Johnson took over, he and his General Harold K. Johnson hated the Green Berets, so they ordered us all out of Vietnam, and we were one of the first camps to convert successfully to regional forces. I was there 7 months, and I went to another camp.
Well, no, I think that this started out as a CIA war. Did the CIA hire a lot of people and use them there directing the war before it really got going?
Well, Special Forces were there on TDY for 6 months at a time. My best friend, who was killed his fifth time in Vietnam, had been there three times for 6 months tours from Okinawa. But they went there in civilian clothes.
In other words, the American people weren't told that there was already a secret war going on in Vietnam before we began committing our troops there.
That's right.
And, of course, all of the special forces were volunteers, weren't they?
Amen.
And sometimes did you volunteer for these jobs, and then they would sort of get you out and make it look like you're out of the service, a sheep dip, and you'd look like a civilian, and then eventually you'd come back again?
Yeah. John McCarthy is one of those that did that to. Well, anytime you're on a covert operation where it required you to do something against international law, big time, you know, like assassinating somebody, then you were just dropped from the rolls temporarily.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Colonel Daniel Marvin, and it's an amazing story. We'll take your calls a little later, but right now, just please hold your calls.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just tell you about a couple of the items. And I think one thing that everybody should have right now is a good water filter, because, of course, we're told by the people within FEMA and by Tom Ridge that we may have some serious problems. And they're saying we'll have a three-day water supply and a three-day supply of food. If there's really a disruption of our country, how long do you think that you would live, with just a three-day supply of water? Well, there's something called the Big Berkey, and it's the ultimate in the way of water filters. It's the most economic water filter you can buy. It's convenient. It sets up in minutes without any plumbing or tools or electricity. It's powerful. The Big Berkey removes pathogens such as E. coli, cholera, and cryptosporidium. It reduces chlorine, herbicides, pesticides, foul taste, and odors. And the Big Berkey is so powerful, it can easily filter raw and treated water from lakes and rivers. It's elegant. The high-grade polished stainless steel will complement your finest decor, and it's flexible. It's ideal for your home, college, dorm, river, or boat. It's the ultimate water filter. Now, ordinarily, these are $279. We sell them for $239, plus, of course, $10 shipping. And, of course, if you buy it through us, well, you'll get either a video or a four-tape set we produce. So that's the Big Berkey for $239 plus $10 shipping, and we throw in a video or a four-tape set. And, of course, these are available in all the states except for California and Iowa. Now, there is a Berkey water filter that is available in every state but Iowa. The Berkey water filter is clear rather than being stainless steel. It's built to the same specifications, but, of course, you can actually see the water levels. The filters, in some ways, are better than the Big Berkey. In other words, it'll take out literally all the bacteria and all the chemicals with one or two exceptions. But the trouble is, of course, the filters have to be replaced after 2 years. Now, the Berkey Light, and it's called a Berkey Light water filter, and it's $199, and of course we also have $10 shipping charge, and we mentioned that we'll be glad to give you either one of the videos or the four tape sets we produced. If you get a Berkey Light filter, you can get the lights, but that's an extra $60. You can buy those later on. The reason you'd have lights is simply because it's nice to have light if there really are problems, and lights are not available if there really was a disruption of our society. But you can get certainly the Berkey Light for $199 or the Big Berkey for $239. And if you're interested in getting them, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because I believe these are really very, very uncertain times, and we have to be prepared to look after ourselves and our families and our friends. And you can't live very long without good water. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Colonel Daniel Marvin, and we're talking about his experiences as a Special Forces officer. What was your rank at that time when you were in Vietnam?
Well, let me clarify something. I actually retired as a lieutenant colonel.
Lieutenant colonel, right.
Right, but you normally call lieutenant colonel colonel. I was a captain, 33 years old, in Vietnam. I came into the Army as a recruit. My highest rank as enlisted man was Sergeant First Class E6, and I retired as a lieutenant colonel.
All right. Well, then, of course, you left. You were sent over to Thailand. And what was going on in Thailand at the time? Was this about 1964, 65?
This was 67.
Okay.
It was after Vietnam, which was 65 and 66. And I had initially received orders for Alaska, and I told them that I'd refuse that. I wanted to go someplace where they needed me. So I got a call a few days later, said that there's some trouble in the 46th Special Forces in Thailand. They didn't tell me what it was, but when I got there, I learned that they, in fact, I stopped an M1D sniper rifle and some other weapons from being shipped to the United States illegally through the U.S. mail, international mail system.
Well, now, who was shipping them and why? Who was doing it and why?
It was a Special Forces captain who we feel, and I'm not, they'd stop the investigation on it because everybody that had sworn to tell the truth, told the truth initially to the CID investigators, military intelligence investigators, but then they recanted after Colonel Bartelt, the commanding officer, intimidated them, gave them some warnings.
In other words, they really didn't want the information to get out, and when an enlisted
right.
man or even an officer is told to lie, most of them are going to lie.
That's right. Colonel Bartelt refused to investigate it when I first told him the day that I discovered it. And basically, we felt that the weapons were being sent. Well, they were going to Detroit, Michigan, and where this officer was going to get out and go to. It was his home. And we feel, William Pepper and myself feel that they were going to be part of the operation that former Special Forces Commanding General, General Yarbrough, according to William Pepper's information, headed up an operation where Special Forces were infiltrating the Black Panther units and things of that nature, and actually tasked with a job of spying on Martin Luther King Jr.
All right, now, of course, basically, they had infiltrated the Black Panthers, and they were working within the Black Panthers, actually agitating there?
I don't know.
What were they doing in the Black Panthers?
There's a book by William Pepper, Orders to Kill. That's a good book to read. I hesitate to say anything that I don't know for an absolute certainty.
All right, fine, but this is written...
And another book he just published this year, 2003, is An Act of State, which really puts it down hard and fast that it was a government operation that killed Martin Luther King Jr.
But, of course, did these weapons have anything to do with that, or were they distributing these weapons to the militants? Or what?
It was a way to get in.
Otherwise,
you buy your way in by providing weapons. There was 120 weapons, approximately, that were sent from Vietnam. They were captured weapons, but they were all American weapons, where the Viet Cong had captured them from our units, and then we captured them back from the Viet Cong, and they were off the books that way. And they were shipped to Thailand, and then from there boxed up and sent by mail.
All right, fine.
States.
But you actually stopped the shipment, so...
I stopped it all, right.
All right, fine. Well, anything else happened while you were in Thailand?
Oh.
It must have been a pretty exciting life, you know, being with the Special Forces. You know, were they very commonly used for liquidating the opponents of the...
No, the use of the Green Berets in Thailand was totally different. It was a lot of border surveillance, training, Thai Special Forces. The actual structure and the serviceability of the Special Forces equipment and that there was very bad when I got there, and that was one of the things that I worked very hard on, was trying to get them out from so much time in the bars and everything and with the local prostitutes. It turned out that Colonel Bartelt, the commanding officer, owned part interest in the biggest bar and house of ill repute right in Boat Barree, right near our headquarters.
Well, now, of course, one of the most famous stories to come out of that area at that time was Apocalypse Now, and those who remember it was a fascinating, fascinating story about a military officer who had sort of gone mad. And so I'm going to, when we get back, I'll certainly ask if you'll comment on that story. And was there any truth to this concept that there really was a secret army in Cambodia? And, of course, people were sent to kill the commanding officer. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's
four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WALK. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of other things that we can offer you. Certainly, if you have not yet made preparations, and of course the government keeps telling us there are going to be some difficult problems, perhaps you really ought to get a Ready Reserve food catalog, because Ready Reserve food not only has all sorts of dehydrated and freeze-dried food, and these are good products. My wife had used these long before Y2K ever came along. But they also have all sorts of other things that you might need if there was an emergency situation. So we would ask you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll send you a Ready Reserve food catalog. And if you see things in there that you think that you'd like to have, why, you can, of course, fax the request back to us, and we'll see it gets to Ready Reserve food and that you get the products. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. Another product we carry to help finance what we do is the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but we will tell you a lot of our listeners swear by these products and tell us all sorts of wonderful stories, you know, of how they have helped them in all sorts of ways. So, well, we can tell you one thing, they're very good soap. We've used them. Certainly there's a soap and a moisturizing soap. There is a lotion and a gel, and then there's a neutralizer, and many people take that neutralizer because they say it seems to help their heartburn. It's a very alkaline solution, and it tends to alkalize the individual. So if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products or to order them, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, the Miracle 2 soap products are really being used across America. We sell an awful lot of them to people who have had them before, and they just want to get more. There's a special introductory offer, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. And just fact for the introductory offer of Miracle 2.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of Radio Liberty that aired originally on March 25th, 2003, with Colonel Daniel Marvin.
And he was with Special Forces, had a fascinating life. He's written a book called The Expendable Elite, referring to the fact that they certainly are quite willing to expend the lives of the Special Forces men, these patriotic, very highly trained men who believe in America, but there are other people who really do not value them. And, of course, as he commented, they were actually going to wipe out his whole unit during the Vietnam War because he would not go ahead with certain specific instructions he'd been given in the way of assassinating the Prince Sihanouk of Cambodia. Now, of course, then, of course, you came home, and eventually you did become a Christian, didn't you, Colonel?
84.
Okay.
And that's when I began my effort to get the truth all put together and get corroboration and write this book. By the way, you know, there's a lot of different ways of intimidating the gentleman who bought the rights for a movie for my book, Expendable Elite. His attorney went out to the people that had been with me over there to see who would corroborate in writing at that time or join in the movie thing. And Mr. Weed was his attorney. And the head of the Special Forces Association, now that's about 6,000 Green Berets, past, present, retired and on active duty now. And Jimmy Dean, who is the president of the Special Forces Association, called Mr. Weed, who was Bob Logan's attorney, the man who bought the rights to make the movie, and he stated this, and I quote from the letter that the attorney wrote to Bob Logan, what Jimmy Dean also stated, and I quote, there would be serious repercussions if they went ahead with the project, the movie. And I called the attorney and I asked him, were you scared? He said, look, I've been a criminal lawyer for 20 years or so. He says, nothing scares me.
Well, of course, but are they going to make the movie or did they manage to prevent it from
being made? They're
going to make it, yep. Okay, well.
They're arranging financing now.
All right, well, of course, this is the sort of thing that happens. Do you know anything at all about Operation Tailwind? Did you ever hear of that, where a Special Forces unit was dropped into Laos there during the war?
Well, I have had a number of conversations with April Oliver, the one who actually came out with the truth on it, and the general that backed her on it then recanted his testimony, got her fired, and it's a very sad situation, but I do not believe that she's given up.
Well, she really hasn't, you know. Eventually, she was sued by a number of people, and and so when it went to court, and actually they took depositions, and Admiral Thomas Moore was called to testify, and to his credit, he would not lie. And he told the truth, and she won a case. She got so much money, she retired, and of course got a house and a new car. And you know, and she's now studying law. April Oliver had done this wonderful story.
That is wonderful. I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yes. In fact, for any of our listeners out there, we have a four-tape set on Operation Tailwind, plus Admiral Thomas Moore's testimony during the depositions that won the
God
case for
him. Amen.
And, of course, she had a lot of courage. It was the story of a Special Forces unit that was dropped into Laos where they used sarin gas on the people there. Of course, in total.
On Americans. Well,
on Americans, right.
Right.
And, of course, on the Viet Cong. But the Americans at least had gas masks. And, of course, the others, the Viet Cong, didn't. But how could you tell the American people you're violating the law? And then, of course, they were sent there to kill deserters, American deserters. And they did kill them.
Yeah, that's the ones I was talking about.
Right,
yeah.
And the whole story is so incredible. We have a four-tape set. Nobody else has anything like that. And, of course, after April Oliver won her lawsuit, after being crucified by all the newspapers in America, not one of them would, of course, tell that she'd won the lawsuit. Totally blacked out all across America.
Well, it's so like the Martin Luther King trial, too. They blacked it out.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because, of course,
well, can I go back to your question on Phoenix?
Oh, sure, you go ahead.
On Apocalypse Now.
Right.
Apocalypse Now, the same thing practically happened to that commanding officer, that detachment. It was a commanding officer of a Special Forces team that went into the Kamau Peninsula in Vietnam, and they organized the Catholic people under Father Wah as a guerrilla force to clear the Viet Cong out of that area, and they did a marvelous job. And it got to the point, now a sergeant that was on that team told me this, I can't give you his name, but and he said they did such a great job that all of a sudden they got an order from headquarters to pull the team out because they were concerned about Father Wah leading the Catholics against the government in Saigon. So the team members were given the choice whether to stay or leave. All of them left except the commander, and they sent two other Green Berets back in and got him.
In other words, he wanted to stay there because he really thought they were fighting communism.
Well, you know, all of my men, I gave them the same choice, and they all decided to stay. It made a big difference.
Now, of course, this was when, what point was this now? Was this when you...
This was when the CIA was sending the regiment in to get us.
All right, fine. And so your men stayed with you. But you said that basically they managed to intimidate all of your men so that they would... many of them had actually given you a sworn and recorded and written testimony about what really happened. And then when the pressure was put on them, tremendous pressure by people in government, they all recounted what they'd said?
Well, they actually refused to talk about it. They refused to talk to me, and like I talked to one of the wives of one of my men, and she said that she got a call from somebody in Washington that told her that if her husband talked to me one more time, they'd lose their retirement pay. You know, they can't do that, but how does a wife know that? How does a man know that they couldn't do it?
Yeah, well, of course.
So they intimidated them all. There's not a one of them. Well, there's one man that'll talk to me and write to me, but I'm not allowed to give his name to anybody.
Well, this is really what happened after the Kennedy assassination. We have a book, it's called The Dead Witnesses.
Yeah.
Almost 109 people died mysteriously. Now, I think you have a smaller number of people, but they were all killed because they knew something about the CIA's involvement in the Kennedy assassination, and you could never let the American people know that. Why,
right.
They would have realized that the Warren Commission was a fraud. Of course, you know, one of the people on the commission became the president. That was Gerald Ford. Another one of them, assistant counsel, who actually was able to convince the American people about the magic bullet. He became Senator Arlen Specter.
Yep.
And of course, the people don't understand. There's always a payoff for betrayal of America.
Yep. It's a shame, but it's the truth.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do what you do. And have they threatened your life for coming out and telling about what happened?
Well, there's been a lot of different things happen. One time, a congressman's principal staff member in Ithaca, New York, Congressman Matthew McHugh's staff assistant, called my wife and told her, said, just remind your husband that he may not be afraid of anybody but Jesus Christ, but remind him he's got grandchildren. Now, that just scared the poop out of my wife, you know that. But the Lord's protected us all.
Well, of course, this is the sort of thing they do. They, they will threaten your family. And you say that couldn't go on in America. Ladies and gentlemen, things can go on because there is evil at the highest levels of our government. You remember when Hillary Clinton was bringing Jean Houston into the White House to conjure up spirits?
Yeah.
Don't feel I believe that it's in the Republican Party as well. You remember when Nancy Reagan was going to her astrologer, get advice for so she could direct the president?
And it has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat.
Of course it doesn't. It has to do with evil. It's the highest level of our government.
Amen.
And the people do not understand that.
That's right.
And until they do, until the Christians, the good people of this country, speak out, we will continue losing, and perhaps they never will speak out, and America will be lost as we know it.
One of the big problems, and I was so happy to be referred to you, Dr. Stan, is that most Christian churches try to have people stay away from politics instead of getting involved. And that's the more Christians in politics, the more good people in politics is the main thing, the better off we'd be.
Amen to that. Well, right now we have Roger calling in from Allentown. Hi, Roger. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, thanks, Jens. I would just ask you to clarify the presumably the lie in the movie Apocalypse Now would have been to have portrayed him as a bloodthirsty demigod, whereas in the book, presumably faithfully, had him portrayed as a true galvanizing liberator.
That's right. Well, it's just like they told the advisors in the regiment that was coming to attack my camp, that I was a renegade captain leading the Wahaos against the Saigon government. It's a lie.
But you see, they have to tell the officers a lie, or they wouldn't be willing to kill other Americans. And that's, of course, that was what happened to Bobby Garwood. That's why they were going to kill Bobby, because they said, well, he was a deserter. He had joined the Viet Cong. It wasn't true, but it didn't matter whether it was true or not. Of course, you could get Americans to kill Americans under those circumstances. Anything else, Alan? Roger?
Well, just God bless, and I'm glad to get a perspective that there are some true honorable men in the special forces, and God bless.
I think
pray for us all.
I think most of them are honorable. I think they're well-motivated, but unfortunately, they do not know what Lieutenant Colonel Marvin has found out, and of course, that is, of course, there is evil, and there really is a God, and there really is a devil. And, of course, the devil seems to be doing pretty well right now.
The gentleman who just called, I think, will get a big kick out of the foreword to my book was written by Colonel Martha Ray. And I think that most Green Berets or people associated with that, most people knew Martha Ray.
Well, who is Martha Ray? Why don't you tell us a little bit about her?
Oh, she's a famous movie actress, but... and one of the big things about Martha Ray, she's also Lieutenant Colonel in the Nurse Corps. She's the only one that I know of that visited every Special Forces camp in Vietnam. And when she came to my area, I, in fact, warned her chopper off because we were in purple zone status, which means too much enemy activity. She came in anyway and got two 50-caliber bullet holes in her chopper coming to visit our camp. And when she got off the chopper, she had her black nurse's bag in her hand and went right to the medical aid station and helped treat some of the wounded strikers. That's what we call our mercenaries.
Okay.
A wonderful woman.
All right, fine. And, of course, when will the book be available?
Oh, it's you can order it right now from Amazon, from Border Books, and from Barnes & Noble, and it should be in the stores or ready to ship to you either the last week of April or the first week. Well, it'll be in, for certain, the last week of April.
All right, fine. And Joyce, is it there? And how can people get to your website? And, of course, it's go ahead and get
the website. Yes, www.expendableelite, one word, expendableelite, expendableelite.com.
All right. What was your opinion of the murder, the assassination of Martin Luther King? Because you were somehow involved in the court trial, or at least observed the court trial?
No, a friend of mine was there the entire time, but I provided evidence to William Pepper, whether he actually used it or not, whether it was about the gun running. So I provided him all of that. And I've got a copy of the judge's decision and everything else on that.
All right, what does it tell? Because, you see, the American people have never been told there was a trial that the family wanted where they actually accused the government of complicity in the murder of their Martin Luther King, their husband and father.
Well, actually, the government was found to be complicit in the murder of Martin Luther King, Jr. And the whole report of that, I'm just going to get...
But of course, that was totally blacked out by the controlled media. I mean, the last thing they want is the American people to know that they killed Martin Luther King. We've even got a Martin Luther King holiday. And yet, of course,
Let me read you something.
Go ahead.
The Justice Department's this June 9th report on its 21-month investigation into new evidence implicating the U.S. government in the assassination of Martin Luther King, Jr. has concluded that none of the witnesses are credible and that James Earl Ray was the lone assassin.
In other words,
it just wiped out all the witnesses.
We have the government investigating the government, and
that's
what
right.
was their decision? Well, let's go to Steve calling from New York. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
How you doing? Hey, Brother Dan. How you doing?
Who's this?
You remember Heritage Baptist Church?
Amen.
Hey, remember Brother Steve?
Yeah, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Amen.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah.
Steve, you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
No, I called before.
Okay.
I was a while back.
All right.
I knew that Brother Dan was on the Tex Mars program there a while back, too.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think is the real reason why we're going to war with Iraq right now?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think it's all a power thing.
Yeah.
I pray every day, and I listen to the news as much as I can. I pray for our men and women that are over there fighting.
Yeah.
I'd hope that they wouldn't go. I would have rather that President Bush had gone before the United Nations and given another 60 days and then reinforce the inspectors and send troops with them.
You think he's trying
they haven't found anything so far.
You think he's trying to carry out his father's vision of the New World Order?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, you go to a website. It's called www.newamericancentury.org. It is put up by a group called Project for the New American Century. People in this in 1997, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz. They were all planning this in 1997. Go to their website, read their material, and of course, it's put out. William Crystal heads the group now, and he will tell you, we have him on a recent interview with Ted Koppel, saying, well, you know, after we get done here, then of course it's going to be North Korea, and then of course we're going to change the government in Iran and Saudi Arabia. It may take us 20 years, but we hope we can do it without violence. But there's no question. It's all about power and a new world order led by an elite here in the United States.
From what I understand, they want to install a democracy. Is that right?
Well, of course, knowing full well that we don't have a democracy in America, democracies always become despotism. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Steve. It's good to hear from
you.
God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time. Colonel, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners here?
Well, I would suggest that they do go to my website and read through the different parts that I've written, the columns, and especially the last two about how the government has taken charge of the media. And I really sincerely believe this. And Al Fletcher Prouty and I, and you know him,
yes,
interviewed him, and I were working together on this to come out with a book about this, and then he died, unfortunately. But I'm starting to put the information back together again so that people can read it and pray for the that the truth come out. I guess more than anything, pray that the truth comes out.
Okay, and for any of our listeners, we do have a two-hour interview with Fletcher Prouty in our four-tape set on JFK. Colonel, thank you so much, and we're going to look forward to having you on several of our other programs. We want the American people to hear your story. Go to the website, expendableelite.com. That's expendableelite.com. Get the pull down. There are all sorts of wonderful essays there, fascinating information, and then, of course, the Colonel's book will be available very soon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan, for what you do.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye, sir. Okay, fine. That was Colonel Daniel Marvin, and I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back here in just a moment or two to wrap up this program right here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, we have the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Wars of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught of a group of peaceable people. Now, the religion may be different than the reason mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become the enemy and destroy the world. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonizing, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently available with the regular sources called 1-800-5-HIV-1.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that if you have not yet gotten yourself a good water filter, one of the most outstanding ones is called the Berkey Light, and it'll filter about 2.5 gallons of water at a time, and of course the water goes in the top, comes out the bottom. The Berkey Light, of course, is transparent, so you can see right through it, you can see the level of the water, and of course it has some very unusual filters. There's just two of them there, and these will filter out bacteria to the point where it's just not detectable at all. After putting a billion bacteria in the water, why, you can't find any in the bottom, and it takes out almost all of the chemicals. Certainly it's very good for MTBE and most of the other chemicals, although the normal minerals are left there, because you don't want to take all the minerals out of your water. The filters, however, have to be replaced every 2 years, in contrast to other filters that are with the big Berkey that can be cleaned over and over again, so, and can even be boiled. So there's a difference, certainly here, between the two items. One is stainless steel, the other is clear, but the Berkey Light is $199, and of course there's a $10 fee for shipping. But if you buy it through us, why, we'll go ahead and give you a either a free video or a few free four-tape set that we produced, and we recommend that you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and order the Berkey Light, because I think it's important, especially at times like this, that you have a means of filtering water. And this, you can take water out of a stream, out of a river, you can take it any place, out of a lake, and you'll get end up with potable water. It's the principle that has been used for many years by missionaries going into foreign lands, and you have to have water that's pure, otherwise you're making yourself very, very susceptible to infection. And of course, this is portable, you can take it any place you want to go. It's called the Berkey Light. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I just want to comment that the Berkey Light is available, that you can get this by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The Berkey Light is available in every state except for Iowa, and of course it's $199, and if you buy it through Radio Liberty, why, of course, we'll give you either a video or a four-tape set that we have actually produced. So if you'd like to get a Berkey Light, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you believe that there's a problem, if you believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and economic and educational battlefield, And if you'd like to be part of our team, which really is having an outreach across America, 5 hours a day on radio and internet, and 3 hours a day on satellite, and 2 hours a day shortwave, and of course our weekend program is heard on some 35 stations, and we're reaching people with the truth they're never going to get from the controlled media. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, for a suggested gift of $20 a month, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, well, I would be glad to send you one of those. And some people just subscribe to the newsletter. And you can certainly do that, or would be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. And you can hear our radio programs actually 3 hours live every day there. And then there are links to our other two programs on the Genesis Network, our links to our program on the American Freedom Network. And, of course, you have our permission, at least from my programs, to copy them and to circulate them. You can pull down our letters. They're up there. And you can pull down my Population Control Agenda monograph and the story of the mysterious guide stones, we call them the Georgia guide stones, where they talk about reducing the world's population and keeping it in constant balance with nature at about 100 million people. That means you're going to have to kill off certainly the vast majority, 500 million people. They're going to have to kill off about over 90% of the world's population. There are people out there who really do want to use war and disease and other things because, of course, they are playing their part in this eternal spiritual battle which is being fought today. So we ask you to tell others about our programs. We ask you to tell them about our website at radioliberty.com, and let's try to get them listening and try to get them informed about what's really going on today. And, you know, when you tell other people, talk to them about what's going on, don't be discouraged if they don't want to hear it. Just don't try to tell them too much. Spend more time asking questions than grabbing them by the lapel and shaking them and saying, don't you know what's going on? But as the war continues and as this war ends and the next war comes, because there will be other wars, because this is what the plan is, and if you don't believe it, go to their website. It's newamericancentury.org. That is www.newamericancentury.org. Get that information and help us to get it out across America. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, and we ask you to pray for our president. We ask you to pray for our ministers. We ask you to pray for our boys who are fighting over there in Vietnam. We ask you to pray for their families. We ask you to pray for the civilians, because, of course, many of them are being maimed by the bombing. And we ask you to pray that the war will end as soon as possible, because, of course, only then will the lives be saved. And then we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.